It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll talk with a veteran NPR journalist about her battle with breast cancer and hear the advice she has for others fighting the disease. First, a new report out this week from the National Alliance on Mental Illness finds that those struggling with mental illness, for them, finding jobs can be incredibly difficult. And the statistics show that about 80% of people with mental illness are unemployed in the country. So what is that costing the country and those affected? And what can we do about it? Joining us now is the author of the report, Sita Deal. She's also the director of state policy and advocacy for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Sita, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Your report shows that 80% of the mentally ill are unemployed. That seems like a surprisingly large number. How significant is it?
Well, actually, the number, 80% of the people who receive public mental health services are unemployed. We really have no idea how many people overall, because people with mental illness don't necessarily disclose when they're working to, just out in the private sector. But the state mental health authorities report these numbers every year to the federal government. And that figure, 80% are unemployed, that is correct.
So the number could be higher if you were including people who weren't getting assistance.
Might be lower, actually.
Might be lower.
Yeah.
Well, why is it so high in general for people suffering from mental illness?
Well, mental illness can impair your ability to, concentrate, and you have a lot of medical appointments, and, so it's just difficult to get a job and keep a job sometimes. But the other thing is that there are programs that work, but the traditional vocational rehabilitation programs are kind of time-limited supports that focus on assessment and job placement. They don't focus on long-term job on-the-job support or support while a person is working. There are programs that have been developed, such as the Individual Placement and Support Program or the ACT program, which actually hails from Madison, Wisconsin, the Program of Assertive Community Treatment, which have supported employment embedded in the mental health service treatment planning and treatment delivery system. And those have been extraordinarily successful in helping people get and keep and succeed at on jobs. But those services are only available to less than 2% of the people who need them in the public system.
How many of the mentally ill that you studied want to work, want to have a job?
Somewhere between 60 and 70% want to work and would work if they had those services and supports. The other barrier to this is that people go back to work, they may be on disability income, and they may be getting Medicaid, which offers a much broader array of services, recovery-based services that really help people get well and stay well. And so they may go to work, and then they may find that their Medicaid benefits are jeopardized because they're starting to work more, or their Medicare benefits are jeopardized. They start into what is called a trial work period. And then people realize, I can't afford to lose these benefits. And they either cut down their employment to 5 or 10 hours a week just so that they will not jeopardize those benefits by having too much income, or they resign, or they continue, and then they lose access to mental health services, and then bad things happen, and they lose their job, and they're unemployed again. So this vicious cycle has been a major impediment to employment for quite a while, but that changes actually this year. With the Affordable Care Act, people can purchase individual plans. If they're above 100% of poverty, they get federal subsidies up to 400% of poverty. And that means that, and those plans must provide mental health benefits, and those benefits must be on par. So that removes a big barrier. You can keep your health coverage when you go back to work.
So do you expect to see that as a big boon for the mentally ill who'd like to be in a job and keep benefits?
Potentially, it's a big boon. It kind of depends on the robustness of the mental health benefits that are offered through these plans. But we can expect to see people who are, willing to take a risk going back to work and testing this. And we are going to do everything we can to make sure that this works.
What is this costing us as a country, both those suffering from mental illness and those who aren't, when so many of the mentally ill who are receiving benefits are unemployed?
Well, it's a major thing because people with mental illness are the largest and fastest growing group of Medicare and Medicaid and SSI and SSDI beneficiaries. You know, so this is costing us millions and millions of dollars.
One of the programs that you say is especially effective at getting the mentally ill into a job and helping them to keep that job is the sort of thing called supported work, I think. Correct me
supported
if I've got...
Supported employment.
Supported employment. Could you lay out for us how that works?
Sure. This is something that actually emerged out of the PAC program in Madison. What happens is people get an employment specialist who will sit down and talk with them and find out what kind of work they want to do, and then we'll place them rapidly in a job rather than having a long assessment, a long training period. And so they get placed rapidly in a job and find out if they like it, and then they can kind of work their way up the career ladder. Meanwhile, their mental health treatment is integrated so that the clinicians who are working with them, you know, understand their needs in the workplace, and they're getting on-the-job support from an employment specialist.
So let's say you're dealing with someone who's suffering from debilitating depression, and they find themselves in a period of depression, and they can't come into work for a while. Would their support person help be a liaison between them and their place of employment to smooth that over?
If they would like that. You know, it's really the person's choice. The person has to be able to choose, you know, those services and choose the level of intervention they would like. But if they would like that kind of intervention, then yes, their employment specialist would advocate on their behalf.
Are there still stereotypes of mental illness that are keeping mentally ill people from being hired in the first place?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Hired in the first place and keeping them from disclosing on the job. People with mental illness work throughout the workforce. You know, they're leading and innovating and creating and contributing. And yet many people, most people, I would think, choose not to disclose because they find that it has a chilling effect on career advancement. We're really hoping that that day is coming to a close.
So what do you think needs to be done to start bringing this unemployment number down?
We need to invest in services that work. And I have to applaud Wisconsin once again, just passed a law called the Individual Placement and Support Act. I guess it's Act 131, just passed it and allocated about $1 million to get these strengthen these programs and so that more people will have access to these programs.
And what do we get as a society if we take those steps to help mentally ill people get and hold jobs?
Well, we get the benefits, the talents that people with mental illness bring to the workforce. Families that are work really helps in your recovery. If you're going to work every day and you're interacting with people and you're doing something worthwhile, it's great for your self-esteem and great for your recovery. We find that over time, people have much less need for services. So the cost to the public purse for those services, not only are they reducing the disability dependence, but they're also costing less in terms of services over time.
Can you leave us with a story of someone that you've worked with or know about, have come across, who has been successful in reentering or entering the workforce and holding that job as a mentally ill person?
Sure. I know someone who was trained as a certified public accountant. She was suffering very debilitating mental illness, and she would lose job after job after job after job. And then eventually she got this sort of supported employment and got the kind of care integration that she needed and was placed in a job that really suited her temperament and her talents. And she has been very happily employed for, you know, well over a year now and shows up on the job. And she just said, when my feet hit the ground, I'm ready to go to work. You know, in the morning, I get up ready to go.
Great. Sita, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
We've been speaking with Sita Deal. She's Director of State Policy and Advocacy for the National Alliance on Mental Illness.